And welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library Podcast, or the DPPL. And I'm your host, Chris Lorenz. And sitting to my right is
Harrison Hoffman.
And sitting across from me is
Robert Kitts.
And sitting around us is
a whole bunch of people.
We have a giant live audience today. It's amazing. It's great.
Oh, we're really feeling the love, and we're thankful.
DPPL, I love you.
Well, I'm glad y'all came out for the, yes, I said y'all, to the
y'all
finale. Season 9, episode 12. It was a doozy. It was a doozy of an episode.
They really delivered on the finale, I think.
It was a good finale.
Yes.
Lots happened in this finale.
Rob, you want to go over the drink of the week over here?
So for the drink of the week, we went big for the big finale, and we said adios to this season of 24 with the adios motherfucker, or AMF. And it's pretty boozy, but it goes down real smooth, which is why it's so dangerous.
Real smooth. It's got the whole room a little tipsy right now, I think, but
yeah, there's been plenty consumed already.
For sure. It's definitely a little intoxicant.
I mean, for me, it's kind of like a blue Long Island iced tea. That's essentially what this is, I think, right?
That's a good comparison. There's a lot of similarities. We're just pouring like five different alcohols together. How does it compare to last week? You really like the Moscow Mule.
Yeah, I mean, I was a pretty big fan of the Moscow Mule. This is definitely boozier, but I think as a drink I can drink on a regular basis, Moscow Mule is probably my vote, but I feel like special occasion drink, AMF's pretty good.
I feel like we got to revisit this with a cooler situation at some point.
Yeah, making a giant
cooler. Like the punch?
Like the punch, that's right.
We did a couple weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
It's pretty equivalent to the punch, just a lot more punch to it, I feel, this time.
There's more punch this time.
Yeah, I feel like this is more boozy than that one.
Hi, audience here. I'm not feeling a thing. Am I doing it wrong?
Well, how many have you had, Max Donna?
Two.
Two of them, okay.
Just drink more.
Yeah.
I'm pretty blasted out here in the audience right now. So. I'm definitely feeling the AMF.
Max Don is just a pro. That's what it is.
I wonder if we're going to have to put like the explicit tag on this week's podcast for iTunes. I don't know.
It's possible.
This is not for the kids at home.
We're off to a strong start.
All right. There's so much to talk about in this episode. I feel like we should get into this. So much stuff.
So I guess we start off. Well, first we got to mention they sent us off with another great Mark Boudreau freeze frame.
Whoever's in charge of doing the freeze frames this season is killing it. This episode was like Mark Boudreau with kind of a gun to his head from Jack Bauer, just looking like he has no idea what's happening.
Which I would just like to say, there's kind of a metaphor for him in the entire season. Like, he's had a metaphorical gun to his head the whole time, and that look on his face has happened the whole season. So I'd love that they captured that in the freeze frame, finally.
Absolutely. That look is just permanently affixed to Mark Boudreau's face.
I mean, he's providing a lot of ammo. Like, every time he's in a scene, he just gives that look like, oh, where am I? Oh, what's going on? Oh. He's just like, look at that freeze frame, and she's like, oh. And he's just like Wile E. Coyote.
And he makes that sound exactly.
Well, I guess the episode actually starts where it left off, with Audrey sitting on the bench taking another call from Chang, and she's not too happy with what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that sniper was pretty good at taking out those guards around her last week.
Guys,
now she's just sitting here alone.
I'm sorry. I just discovered Mark Boudreau is from my town in New Jersey.
So actual Mark Boudreau, or the actor who plays Mark
actual
Boudreau?
Actual actor Mark Boudreau.
So not the character.
So excited right now.
Really? So we talked about this a few weeks ago. I just realized the actor who plays Boudreau was that guy in Argo. Like, he was, that's just mind-blowing to me, because he was amazing in Argo, and he is not that amazing in 24.
Well, that's part of that shows you how he's a good actor.
That's
true. He went in a totally different direction.
And he's not given too much.
Do you think that do you think that as he was preparing for his role as Mark Boudreau, he like Daniel Day-Lewis'd it and just like, you know, would refuse to talk to anyone who didn't address him as Chief of Staff Mark Boudreau?
I don't think he did that at all.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I might respect him more if he did.
Absolutely. I don't know. If he did that and then he acted like this, I think his stock goes down a little bit.
Maybe we're on a different page. I think Mark Boudreau was one of the highlights of the season. So I'm giving respect to Mark Boudreau. I mean, maybe less the president and Audrey, but Mark Boudreau brought
He was definitely the best character of the season. Like, he provided more entertainment per minute than any other character this season, I think.
Margot Katz-Stark also provided a lot of entertainment. I think it's between those two.
Yeah.
I mean, he did, but it wasn't because he was a good actor. It was more like just like the dumbness of his character, which I guess is part of his acting, but I feel like maybe overacted a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
He was definitely able to sell us in the fact that he's an idiot.
He certainly
season.
Embraced
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And he was the mole the whole season, which I called from the beginning.
He's not a mole. He's just an idiot.
Yeah.
He was exactly. a mole.
I don't think he's a mole. I mean, he was, you know.
Like, he gave information to the fake Russians. Okay, I think he's a mole.
Fake Russians? I think those guys were actual Russians.
Well, the secret Russian.
Did you see that mustache? That was
what,
real.
Was he secretly Russian? Or
no.
was he a secret
well,
Russian?
He was playing a Russian diplomat, but he wasn't actually a Russian diplomat.
Yeah. Is that true?
He was a Russian secret
He was
agent.
An agent, yeah.
Jack hinted at that last week, but they just kind of Jack said it, and then they didn't really mention it again. So it was pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, the insane facial hair was enough to convince anyone that he was legit,
It
I think.
Was real. That facial hair and that beard was real.
So do you think that guy has that facial hair in real life, or he just grew this out for the role?
I bet he just rolled up with that facial hair to the audition, and they were like
hired. You hired. You're the one.
They casted him for that facial hair. That's the only reason.
It's amazing what you can do with plastic surgery these days.
And Photoshop. If you check out the Facebook page, I actually Photoshopped some of the guys, actually all three of these guys, with facial hair. So you should check it out.
Which is more awesome. Facial hair than I've ever had in my life in
yes,
that Photoshop.
Yes, and he looks
like
a 60-year-old man.
Yes.
I don't know why you look so old with that facial hair.
Because the Haitian...
Oh, no.
Those AMFs are catching up to me. Because the facial hair was like part black, part like gray, I think.
Would
that's
you like
probably
to know
why.
Who I took that off of?
Yeah, I would.
Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, man. In which movie?
Who was the most interesting man in the world, right? No?
No, you thought that was Harrison.
Harrison is the most interesting man in the world.
That's right.
I guess.
Yes.
I totally lost track of where we were in this episode.
We're at the beginning.
Let me bring it up. We're at the first minute.
The first scene.
first 60 seconds. Oh, man.
No, we got past the freeze frame.
Audrey.
So Audrey's Chinese friend is still alive, and Audrey's real dumb, and she's like, I'm going to go help my friend, even though there's a sniper trained on me. And, of course, the sniper just shoots the friend some more to make her more dead. And Audrey's, like, horrified.
Yeah, she was, like, pleading with the guys, like, hey, you know, like she's still alive. Help me. Like, let me go check on her right now. And it's, you know, he just ordered her dead, like, 2 seconds ago. Like, do you think that he's going to care, like, about you going to help her? That was silly.
Women clearly have too much empathy.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, clearly she did.
Yeah.
So then I guess... We
you're right there.
I'm all right. I can't believe we're still this early in the show.
Yeah.
But we then move to the president, and we just get an update that the Chinese are still coming, and the army people are still trying to convince the president to up the alert level, and he's way more receptive to that this week than he was last week. Last week he's like, I don't know, I don't want to do it. This week, every time they're like, can we raise the alert level? He's like, do it.
Yeah, he raised the alert level like twice this episode, I feel like.
At least.
Yeah.
Well, he did once at the very end of the last episode, I felt. He said raise the alert level, but apparently that's not the highest alert level, so
right.
we have to ranch it up.
It was weird, like, later in the episode when they raised it again, and they're just like, all right, now it's time to review, like, the nuclear protocols, and it's like, shouldn't you have been talking about that, like, forever? Like, I mean, that's been on the table, I feel like.
That should have been done, like, months ago. Like, I mean, the Chinese come attack, what are we going to do?
Well, they reviewed it months ago, but then there's the whole Alzheimer's thing. So, like, let's review this again.
Let me bring it back here. That's fair.
Oh, man.
It's a dark episode.
Pretty dark.
It is a dark episode. There's more darkness to come.
There was definitely a lot of dark Alzheimer's talk this episode.
Yeah.
It's very sad. Yeah.
So Jack, Kate, and Boudreau are still hanging out at dead, insane facial hair guy's place, and they're, like, searching it for some information. And, like, was it on his phone or something? They somehow figured out, like, oh, this is exactly where Chang is. We need to go there. And as soon as that happens, Mark gets a text or something that shows that Audrey is being held by a sniper, and he's not too happy about that.
No, I think we got to think.
She was being so still, you couldn't tell
that it was a live video feed. But I'm pretty sure it was a picture from like a minute ago.
They mentioned the timestamp, so I think that's why it's.
Yeah, it seemed like a screen cap from that guy's tablet, the sniper's tablet or whatever he had, like the scope on. Like, I'm not sure why it wasn't just looking through the scope. It was just like, oh, like let me like check this tablet out and just be like leaning back in my chair real casual with a sniper rifle.
He was so casual with that sniper rifle.
So cash. Yeah. And it totally showed later when he was unable to shoot anyone ever with that sniper rifle.
I mean, I feel he didn't even have it on a tripod. The thing was just leaning out the windowsill and he's just grabbing on it with one hand.
Grabbing on it. Totally.
I feel like
he was grabbing on it with one hand. Yeah.
I feel like I need that app, that puts the scope in your pictures that you can take. Just like, hey, look, I've got a sniper rifle.
I'm sure
that's what he was doing. He just has like an app on the iPad on his iPad there, just like with a scope on it.
Is that why you need that? Yeah.
I mean, I don't need it. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure that's what they were using. They were like, I can't take it through this little scope thingy. I'm just gonna use this iPad app
and just make the scope a little transparent so you can see the person you're shooting through the other side. It'd be perfect.
Yeah. Totally.
Someone should make that.
It's getting real dark again.
And so Jack and Boudreaux get a call from Chang, don't they? I bet where Chang's like, I have Audrey, don't chase me or I'll kill Audrey.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's a typical, you know, Kate is all like, well, too bad for Audrey. We got to go get Chang to prevent World War III. And then Boudreaux and Jack are like, well, let's think about this a little bit.
I mean, I feel like Jack was on board with the go catch Chang, and if Audrey dies, it's okay. But Boudreaux is the one who's kind of naysaying, I think.
Well, Jack was kind of on board with it, but remember, they did not tell the CIA and the army or anything, yeah, there's this boat, that's where Chang is. Jack went by himself, and he's like, I'm going to just Jack Bauer this real quick. So I feel like he was kind of, you know, we can't cause too much of a scene. Let me do this my own way to give Audrey a better chance.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was a super tough spot because, you know, on the one hand, Chang senses that somebody's after him, he's going to kill Audrey, and if they don't go catch Chang, you know, and Audrey's alive, but it's World War III. So it seems a pretty tough situation overall.
I feel like if the choice is one person or World War III, you gotta prevent World War III.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go against Jack Bauer on this one. He should have told the CIA at least, like, they could have helped in so many ways, which
Jack
is
Bauer,
he's just like, Kate, you go get... You know, go get her. And then I'm going to go be Jack over here. We're going to do this separately and not call in any backup for any of these.
Jack is incredibly cocky. Like, he thinks he can just take on, like, the number of times, even in this season, that the entire, like, fate of, like, the world has rested squarely upon Jack's shoulders and his actions is insane. Like,
it's pretty high.
To be fair, he does have a track record.
He does have a track record.
Makes him a little arrogant, though.
I think he's earned a little bit of arrogance, and you know, with his performance.
And I feel like he adds to that record today.
He did, definitely.
Especially in the transaction between him and Booty.
Booty.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about that when he's like, "Oh, she's in love with you," and Jack just goes right away, "Shut up!"
Yeah.
Just immediately shutting him down. I'm not sure quite why.
Yeah, that was a super crazy thing for Boudreaux to blurt out in that situation, too. Like,
Boudreaux's not the best at knowing the right thing to say at the right time.
The timing was just horrible on this one. It's like he's somehow convincing him of what to do.
I wish instead of shut up, Jack had just said, I know. And then been like, but just as angrily.
That would have been great. That would have been so good.
Or it's given like, him a JB stare and just walked out after that.
Just like doesn't dignify a response. Like, yeah.
The other thing, like Jack goes after Chang. And like at that point, he doesn't even have Chloe on board. It's just going, obviously at some point he calls up his Serbian friend. But like, it's just going in solo.
We have plot device Serbian friend back in the mix again. And I feel like we heard his name maybe for the first time this episode.
Belcheck. It's been mentioned multiple times.
Yeah. This episode or Total?
Total. He says, the only reason I know this is he tells Kate, you know, my name is Belcheck. And she's like, Belcheck. And he's like, one word, like Madonna.
Oh.
Is that where Max comes like from? Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the first time that it really registered with me because we've just been calling him Serbian guy for the entire season.
This is what I do with TV shows a lot is I come up with nicknames for characters and then never learn their actual names.
Yeah, totally.
Just like the WikiLeaks guy, Julian Assange.
Julian Assange. The worst example?
Martin Lawrence.
All right, all right.
The worst example for me ever was there was a character on The Walking Dead that I was calling Eugene, even though that wasn't his real name. And then they introduced a new character named Eugene. And they're talking about Eugene, and I was so confused.
I'm disaster.
Like, that's not Eugene. And they're like, oh, this is actually Eugene. Oh, no.
Did you just randomly decide to call him Eugene?
Yes.
Like, for no reason at all?
In the first episode, we just start calling him Eugene. And then that's all we called him for the rest of the
season. I'm so thankful that we have so much original names going on that we don't double up. Like, there's only one Serbian guy.
And, right. and only one insane facial hair guy.
Only one Martin Lawrence guy.
Only one Rob Stark.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
His name is Eric, and we like him a lot.
Oh, yeah. And we particularly like him because he tweeted at us a couple weeks ago.
That's
right. Great. So exciting. So
nice. Didn't answer our question, but...
Eric, if you're listening...
he dodged it real bad.
We still want to know the answer to that question.
The situation is that Eric can't read, so you know.
We're gonna have to edit that one out. Sorry, guys.
We don't edit anything. This is all one take.
We have to feign that we're upset. Okay.
Being called Martin Lawrence or that, I don't know which one's worse.
Oh no.
I know which one's worse.
This is going real sideways this week.
So anyway.
Anyway.
About the show. Not yet. So Chloe just gets some random people find Chloe on the side of the road, and she calls Jack. And Jack's all like, I don't need your help right now, Chloe. But Chloe convinces him that maybe having her help him on this solo raid against a giant boat full of armed guards would be a good idea. So Jack heads over to pick her up, heads to the boat, and Kate makes it over to where Audrey is. And it's funny because Kate seemed to be there for a really long time, not really doing anything after like she originally got there.
Yeah,
definitely 24 logic. You know, we need to fill time. It's got to be in this scene and this scene. You're going to be like doing like pretty much nothing. You're going to sit in the same bush.
I mean, like she had told Audrey a long time before that, you know, hey, I'm going to make a move in this thing. As soon as I make a move, you run for the trees. And it seemed like it was like at least 10 minutes since she said that. Like, and then Jack calls her and she's like, yeah, I'm still getting into position or whatever. Super weird.
I mean, there was a part where Kate told her to move a little bit so they knew where the sniper was.
Sure, yeah.
And
which is very risky.
Which, again, shows how awful the sniper is.
Well, the sniper at that point wasn't really trying to kill her.
He could have shot her in the leg.
Ooh.
Why are we shooting in the bench? Why don't we just like make her suffer a bit?
There you go.
I mean, shooting in the leg is also, if you hit the right artery, you're kind of dead. So
I don't think they were that concerned in keeping her alive that long.
Yeah.
I think that's a real solid plan right there.
Yeah, I mean, they can only hold off with a hostage for so long.
We already realized he's not a good sniper later.
But at this point, we don't really know
he could hit a leg.
So Audrey is the Chinese guy only insurance policy, right?
Why would you
have only one insurance policy when it's this girl, and how long is that going to hold out? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, the plan was kind of thrown together hastily, and it was pretty opportunistic because, you know, that Russian guy died, and there was, like, a bunch of shit that happened, and then, like, Audrey just kind of happened to be in that situation where they kind of take advantage and sort of hold her hostage. So I feel like it was pretty opportunistic and not super well planned by the Chinese people. Mm-hmm. Not like the Chinese people as in like the country of China, but just Chiang specifically.
All of China is a huge mistake. Every Chinese person
Thanks for clarifying.
He doesn't represent the entire population of China?
He does not.
Okay.
As far as I know.
It is a very common name, however. Throw that out there.
Chiang is a very common
name. I love how the Chinese president knew exactly who that was with just Chiang.
He's infamous.
He rose very high in the Politburo, so he's a known character.
There's only Max one Donovan nefarious Chiang, apparently, in all of China. Only one of them.
Only one matters, really.
Well, only one they thought was dead for 3 years, but isn't dead.
For
some reason.
So Kate's with Audrey, sort of scoping out the situation, waiting to make her move for a long time. And Jack and Serbian guy and Chloe show up at the boat. And then we go into, like, full video game mode where Chloe's got the heat signatures because there was a DirecTV dish nearby or something.
and And she hacked the satellite.
So she like, yeah, she said like the mobile network is giving me enough power. Oh, let me just use that satellite dish over there. And
yeah, there was
that
no
was insane.
There was no 4G LTEs where she was. She had
which,
to go to.
Which
his.
I feel like
Sprint.
Yeah, I feel like Sprint would be upset with that statement probably.
Yeah.
Maybe she lost her Sprint card and that's why it didn't work.
She had a cellular modem, but there's no signal. So then she's like, let me just get that dish. Let me just wire in that thing and go GTA on this.
But like if I'm Sprint, longtime sponsor of the show 24, I'm not super happy about that plot point.
Yeah.
Probably.
Definitely not a good plot device for Sprint.
So, I mean, I guess you kind of have to give up some of that when you're going to sponsor a show like that. But.
I mean, there's not too much Ford in this
yeah,
this season of 24 either.
There's some Jeeps. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
all about Chrysler this season.
Right. Anyway,
Jack Bauer's got to get.
Should
paid.
Should we dig a little deeper into the corporate sponsorship of 24?
We could.
What about the financial breakdown?
Yeah, we should try to unpack the production budget of this episode in a minute.
Let's open up some Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And run some macros.
Yep.
What is?
How did Jack hydrate during the season?
His
like
own sweat.
Right? So, like, what was he ever drinking?
Jack never needs to hydrate.
Here's the thing: it's a 12-hour show, so it was like he was way ahead of schedule. It was like 12 hours done. He's like, "Oh man, I did so well this time."
His body operates at 100% efficiency, so he actually doesn't need to take in any water because
just like a camel,
exactly. Well, sort of like a camel.
Well, at the end of the 12 hours, he's like, "Oh, it's over. What? Why? What? I've got another 12 hours to go here." There's so much more to go.
I was actually really bummed out coming into this week's episode because I was like, in a normal season of 24, we'd just be halfway through, and you know, the show kind of ramped up and got really good, and you know, now it's just ending, and we'd normally sort of be halfway through. It's kind of a bummer.
But it was a pretty like, there wasn't that you know plot line that we were just like, oh no, why is this still going on after six episodes? Like, grant this be over. And so that
there
was partly because
some of the Alzheimer's stuff's kind of
but the Alzheimer's
kinda
stuff
iffy.
Compared to some other plot lines in other seasons didn't take up as much time as some other things.
That's true. There was no like Kim Bauer stuck in a bear trap sort of situation.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Honestly, I feel the whole Alzheimer's plot line. The only reason they did it at all is for his final goodbye to Audrey. The whole, I'm not going to remember any of this. Like, I think they just put that in there just to make that so much sadder.
So you think that they'd already written that speech at like when the season started?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think they like went back and was like, oh, we need to make this really sad. So let's add it that he's got Alzheimer's. Let's put it in there for six episodes. And then at the end, let's just bang it all out.
Interesting. Because like, I mean, that makes sense because I feel like it didn't really add a ton to the show. It right. was like there's bullshit that happens sometimes, like when you forgot something. Like it didn't really add a lot to the
there
show.
There was zero consequences besides yep. the end.
No, sure. My theory is they included it just so you would believe him when he's gonna be like, "I'm gonna go get drone boned."
No,
I'm gonna have to resign the presidency in an hour. I'm gonna go resign the presidency. Let me go and just get myself blown up, and you believe it more that he'd actually do that because he's not going to be the president soon anyway. I feel like
I guess
that's
why true.
They did it.
That is
good
true.
One, Rob.
No, I think it's because the writer like knows like his dad has like Alzheimer's or whatever, and he's trying to get Alzheimer's awareness. I think it has little to do with the plot of 24 because anything they can make anything up,
which is ironic.
I think it's more Alzheimer's awareness from you know the writers.
Interesting.
It's ironic because they're hiding it from the nation the whole time. So the awareness isn't really kicking in.
Well, the
but
awareness is to us,
there.
Not necessarily the U.S. public at this point.
It's kind of a parallel universe.
Yeah. Is it?
There's been a lot more terrorist attacks in that universe. Than
you mean
one.
24 is not real?
Wait, this isn't our future?
It was a documentary, yeah.
Next, Donna, I'm glad you're sitting down. We have some things to tell you.
I'm not gonna sit down.
Yeah, I don't need to sit down. What's going on?
Yeah, that was super sad scene.
Yeah. So, is there anything to say about Jack and Serbian guy storming the boat the first half? Because they're just super efficient. As Chloe's just telling them, "Go here, shoot these guys." Okay, now go here, shoot these guys, and they're just moving along real easily.
Yeah, I mean the first half is a pretty standard sort of raid. But
it was pretty cool. I want that video game. You know, Chloe says go over here. All right, let's go over there.
It was pretty fun, but I don't know what to talk about.
They recorded 22 kills total, 19 for Jack Bauer, 3 for the Serbian guy.
Oh man, Serbian guy's on the board though.
He's on the board.
That's good.
Now Jack Bauer did 16 by machine gun, 3 by various cutting weapons. But what I want to talk about out of the entire sequence is what happened when Jack unholstered his pistol and thought for a second. You know, I don't know what you guys thought would happen there, but
I mean, it looked like he was about to shoot himself in the head.
Exactly.
But he was snapped back to reality, and what followed was one of the best sequences in 24 history.
Jack definitely activated his rampage mode.
I mean,
that he'd been holding for four years.
I think we need to talk about the reason.
We need to set up. I mean, there's not a lot of setup. Like, essentially, Kate kind of saves Audrey from the sniper thing, and then some bullshit happens, and she gets shot anyway. Is kind of what happened.
Wow!
Well, part of it is Ching's IT guy figures out that Chloe's tracking him from the satellite dish.
Right, right.
And so they send some Russian agents to go investigate what's going on with that. So that comes back later.
Yeah, that is true.
And then Chloe tells Jack her like Chloe's feed's been pulled, and Jack's just on his own, and Serbian guy goes down to take care of the engine so the boat doesn't leave. So Jack's just totally by himself, no heat signatures or anything. Now
he does not give a shit. He just goes at it because he is so mad that Audrey is dead. Mad, sad, whatever. He's just clearing them out.
He's told that Audrey's dead. He contemplates suicide for a moment, comes back to reality, and it's just rampage mode. It is amazing.
Roid rages it.
He still knows where all the bad guys are, even though he doesn't have the heat signatures anymore.
He doesn't need it.
First of all, weren't there only like six signatures left on the boat, and suddenly there's 20 guys with machine guns just running from all over the place?
I'm not sure.
They were stacked. They were like under each other. You couldn't see.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when Jack rages, everyone else around him rages. Mm-hmm. On to Jack.
Man.
Raging.
He just... you know, various weapons and sharp instruments. Meat cleaver. He totally meat cleavers some guy in the head from across the room.
So I got to ask, where's the meat cleaver coming from? I mean, you're on the bridge of a boat. You know,
I think he was in the kitchen. He was in the galley.
Well, that makes sense.
Galley.
Okay.
James is getting real specific here with boat terms.
I mean, just galley. So aware, James said the galley. I don't know. You probably couldn't have heard that.
Yeah.
Is this Clue?
it was Jack Bauer in the galley with the meat cleaver.
Meat cleaver needs to be included.
I don't know if you could throw a cleaver like he did though. Like, well, it's very
Jack Bauer.
Yeah,
it's something like an unwieldy weapon.
Yeah, I'm not sure if like the weighting is right on a cleaver to land that blow.
Jack can land any blow.
Well, clearly
with anything.
That sounds very sexy.
As it was.
We gotta put the explicit tag.
Come
in the
on, explicit. Explicit tag achieved.
It's a very well weighted cleaver, apparently.
Yeah.
There was also the switchblade into the neck, but then using the guy as a human shield to take out four other guys.
Where he was guiding him with
the knife
in the neck.
That was great.
Oh man.
That was definitely like a Taken moment there.
I mean, I feel like Jack had a couple Taken moments this episode.
Yeah.
He gave this one speech. Who is he talking to when he gave that insane speech? Oh, the guy at the end with the helicopter that we'll talk about later. He gave like a Taken kind of speech there. So good.
But then it's Ching and Jack one-on-one, because Jack's killed everyone else, but he can't kill Ching. And Ching busts out these mysterious kung fu moves. I don't know where that came from.
Dude is so old, and he was like, it was an insane martial arts sequence.
I gotta say, I've always had this theory about old man strength, and this guy proved it tenfold. This old Chinese man just whipped out some hand weapons and just went to town. But Jack was not having this at all, so thankfully...
Totally,
you know,
beat him down.
JB took him down.
Was it kind of racist that they assumed that the Chinese bad guy would just instantly know kung fu?
Absolutely
when he needed
not.
To?
Racist or accurate? I don't know.
It seemed like a very racist statement right there, Harrison.
It seems, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he was in the military in China. It seems like it's kind of ingrained in their culture. It doesn't seem unreasonable he'd be trained in hand-to-hand combat.
Why would
of
Chinese
some sort.
People use guns? They just
I don't know.
Kung fu. I mean.
Unclear.
I mean, sometimes you need a specific set of skills to find someone and then take them all out on a boat. and you need some sort of kung fu skills to do that.
That's a good point.
That is one thing that Jack Bauer does not know. Just to be clear, he's more brute force. Yeah, but not the.
I mean, he definitely does not. He definitely does not know kung fu specifically. Maybe he's more of a Krav Maga guy or something. Not really,
definitely
not really
sure. Krav Maga.
I don't know.
So, Chang and Jack have a little fight, but obviously Jack Bauer takes Chang. Just as the Chinese boats are crossing the line, where all the. American military telling the president, okay, this is the part where we gotta start shooting them. And the president's like, okay, I guess you're right. But then just as they're doing the order, they get an urgent call from Jack Bauer. And the president's all, wait, hold that. We need to take this call before we start shooting the Chinese.
Jack Bauer's on the line, and he's going to determine whether or not we start World War III right now.
Put a hold on World War III for a second. I gotta talk to Jack Bauer.
The entire world is on hold for Jack Bauer.
Oh, my God.
And then Jack somehow set up a Skype call. I don't know exactly how he did that. And he's just got Chang in a headlock.
Yeah, so the power of Sprint 4G.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
I mean,
Sprint definitely
Sprint 4G phone, you know, opposite him. I was trying to make a hand gesture, which people on the podcast, people listening to the podcast, cannot see at all. So he probably set up the phone on the table facing him and recorded this as he was going.
I mean,
out.
Did Jack kill the Chinese IT guy? I mean, maybe he used some of his
Chinese IT guy definitely was one of the people taken out.
Literally everyone was dead on that ship except for him and Chang.
Yeah, maybe they had it set up
and
ready.
Serbian guy, yeah, sure.
Maybe had it set up and ready, like, all right, Jack's coming, let's set up the Skype call to the president just so, like, when he gets here, we're ready. Like, he knows what's going to happen.
He's like, let's save him some trouble. Yeah. Maybe World War III doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
I like that we got a callback to Margo's facial recognition software because the U.S. government has the exact same facial recognition software.
I mean, it's the best. Why wouldn't you use it?
I mean, if you could hack into military secrets, you might probably be able to hack into their facial recognition software as well.
But though they did double because they had the facial recognition, but they also had the voice recognition.
Yes.
So they went for a double, and it showed both were 100% match.
100%. Even though he was, like, bloodied and disfigured
almost out of the socket. I mean, it was just huge.
Yeah, which Jack Bauer, you know, when he finally kind of gets the upper hand of that fight, just starts beating the shit out of him. Like, the knee in the head and just beating the crap out of that guy.
It took a lot of restraint for Jack not to just kill him right away.
It's amazing that Jack was able to operate at such a high level of efficiency in that rampage because he was so furious. Like, he was like, I'm surprised he was able to think clearly enough to execute that rampage.
That's when he operates it. That's when he goes to rampage.
It's what fuels the precision.
He gets to, like, a new level of clarity through the anger. Like
the adrenaline. Yeah, the adrenaline is just pumping.
I mean, so whereas some people like achieve like total enlightenment by like meditation and being peaceful and stuff, he achieves it. His high level of focus just by getting super angry.
Revenge.
He's a lean mean.
I mean, he did waste all his assault rifle ammo at once. He was just like,
I don't think it was a waste. I think it was very efficiently used.
I don't know if it was efficiently used.
I don't know.
It was hard to tell.
Every single bullet landed.
It was. I mean, there were quite a number of guys up there, but there was also quite a number of shots in that direction. And then he didn't have any ammo left. He had to use...
I mean, he only had one clip, I think.
And he's also trying to make a point. I mean, he breaks down. He's on the verge of tears. His lip is, like, trembling and everything. And he's like, fuck this. I'm going to kill all these people. So he just, like, goes and just, like, kills all the things. I mean, the bullets have to go to make the scene. I mean, if he just, like, carefully, just calculatedly did it, we would just been like, what's wrong with you, dude? Like,
that was the first time I was angry.
Yeah. Can we talk about the handgun scene for just a moment?
Sure.
That was some primo lip trembling acting right there.
It was probably the best acting moment of this.
Kiefer was going for the Emmy right there.
Possibly the best acting of the year. I mean, that was
pretty good acting.
There were zero Emmy nominations for 24. I'm not sure if it missed the cutoff or what happened there.
I think it missed the cutoff.
There were zero. Okay,
it's
going to be the 2015 Emmys.
The best writing
will also get zero.
I don't know, man.
I think
2015 Emmys, 24 LAD is going to run the table, I think.
I think the Golden Globes might just throw something 24's way.
Yeah.
Razzies a little
best.
Bit.
If Booty doesn't get one for that face he makes,
I feel like he's a shoo-in for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah,
he has
shoo-in.
To be.
Yeah.
Best face made consistently through a show.
best freeze frame face.
There'll probably be some made up like MTV whatever awards category for like best face, and then she's
gonna choice awards.
Yeah,
I don't think Mark Boudreau is the target demographic for the MTV movie.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think this is on the MTV or Kids Choice Awards.
Oh man, Donna puts it. Wouldn't it be amazing if this is in the Kids' Choice Awards and it's just, it's just Jack Bauer up there accepting the orange blimp?
What if Kiefer hosts slimed. The Kids' Choice Awards? But he's in the leather with the man purse.
So good.
And the blonde highlights.
The blonde highlights.
He doesn't have those anymore, right?
But he needs them back.
That's true. Bring it
Season
back.
Season 10, blonde highlights are back.
Well, our official hashtag for season 10 will be bring back the highlights. Oh, man.
So they finished the facial recognition software, and the government's all like, yep, we got it, it's good. Jack's like, okay, bye.
And he shuts off the feed,
which I think maybe they'd talk to the Chinese and maybe be like, yeah, Chinese, you want to talk to Cheng yourself? We got him right here. It was like, nope, we're good. See you, Jack. And then Jack just looks at Cheng for a minute. And then behind him, notices there's katanas just on the wall.
Mounted to the wall of this ship for, like, no reason at all.
Why are they there?
I mean, it's anyone's guess. I mean, like, I don't really know why you need a katana.
What do you mean, why?
What do you mean, why?
Who's on that ship?
A bunch of Chinese people and some Russians?
Yes.
And they don't have katanas in this culture?
But it's a Russian ship.
It's a Russian ship. With some Chinese guests. Also, katanas are Japanese. So, like, that doesn't make
Asian.
Any sense. It just all of Asia uses katanas?
Yeah.
Does that include you?
Oh,
you're from India?
Yeah, it was a Dutch ship.
A Dutch ship? Dutch ship captained by Russians?
I think they were flying...
captained by Dutch.
They were
flying a flag
of convenience, but it was a Russian ship.
Correct, oh. Which still does not explain the katanas.
No, none of this explains the katanas.
So here's a fun fact, and I'm going to probably get this wrong, but we're going to go for it anyway.
Oh, no.
So a fun fact that's wrong? How does that work?
It's purely a fact.
So I think it's Dutch captains. Like, I feel like the captain of, like, every cruise ship is, like, Dutch. Because, like, they, like, super, like, specialize in, like,
I
churning
believe
out
that
captains.
Is a fact. I mean,
I thought you were going to try to come up with something that's actually factual.
100%.
No, I'm like 80% in this one that the Dutch really churn out like large ship captains.
I'm gonna go. That's not true.
Actually,
okay. Maybe
in
TV.
I think the Dutch do three things very well: cheese, DJs, and ship captains. I mean, this is
and you know, legal marijuana before the rest of the world, I suppose.
Excellent point.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway,
just shout terrible. Out to terrible.
I mean, my question was. Aren't those people kind of neutral, mostly? Like, why would they want to be causing trouble? I feel like they mostly kind of hide up in their
They were
world
commandeered.
And just kind of put their hands up.
Who, the Dutch?
Yeah. I mean, why would they want to fuel this World War III action?
So I didn't see any Dutch on board, really. It seemed like that captain was pretty Russian. The turtleneck guy? who got convinced to launch the ship super early.
Of course the ship was wearing a turtleneck.
He had a real sailor kind of... Longshoreman look to him, I think.
Excellent call.
His facial hair definitely was like, we need ship captain facial hair. And
totally.
Like, this guy, this is the guy.
Is that another situation where he showed up at the audition with that facial hair?
Yeah. He showed up
and the turtleneck.
And the turtleneck.
Yeah, he was wearing the turtleneck, had the facial hair. They're like, ship captain.
I mean, I do think like a lot of times when people show up for tryouts, if they know it's for like a specific thing like that, like they'll try and like wear... like something that kind of resembles that so that you can picture them in that role more easily. So he could have very well shown up in that same turtleneck.
He was the runner-up for facial hair guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a big gap between winner and runner-up this season.
It wasn't even close.
So let's, Chris, break down what happens with this katana for us.
Yeah, so Jack swings the katana, and then there was a head, and then there wasn't a head, and then they cut away.
Well, first he said, this is for Audrey.
Oh, that's true.
And then just takes a big cut at that guy's neck.
Yeah, not for him being tortured for 3 years, or Audrey just being tortured for...
And dead.
Well, I mean, she's dead now. That makes sense.
How sharp was that katana?
Insanely sharp. Like, that head came clean off. from like for a katana, it's just been mounted on that
a
wall.
Decorative
for...
katana. Do you keep how sharp do you keep your decorative?
Whoa,
katana?
Guys, it doesn't have to be decorative.
It has to be decorative. It cannot be functional. You can't like. What would you use that for on a ship?
What do you mean?
Decapitate.
What do you mean, Harrison? What do you mean? You know, there's. No, there's functional swords on boats just in case they get attacked by pirates. Duh.
Why do you need swords to defend against pirates?
Because you're tight quarters, there's a lot of hallways, you know, you gotta be ready. Hand-to-hand combat.
If they have the kung fu skills, they wouldn't really need that.
These are the Dutch. They don't have any kung fu.
I saw Captain Phillips. There were no katanas on that.
I mean,
Captain Phillips is canon for Emmy. That's how you define any boat, really.
Like, if Tom Hanks isn't whipping out the katana, then I don't think that's a thing.
I mean, maybe that movie would have ended differently if there were katanas on that ship.
Yeah, maybe Tom Hanks wishes he had a katana. It would have been so different.
Was Captain Phillips a...
Hold on. We're going to let Maxana try to unpack this one right here.
This is going to be terrible. Was Captain Phillips a whatever that movie is where Tom Hanks is deserted prequel?
No. Castaway?
I really didn't think that out before I grabbed the mic.
You mean the movie in which Tom Hanks is like the president, like the president of FedEx? Like that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so.
That's not the prequel to Castaway?
Well, maybe.
I mean, clearly, like, the job was so stressful that he went to the captain.
You went opposite.
You went opposite.
Just keep the mic away from me for the next 10 minutes.
You're on timeout.
I mean, I would also like to say about the whole how sharp the knife was. Sorry, what is it called again?
Katana.
How sharp the katana was. I think we're blatantly underestimating JV right now. I mean, he could have done that with a butter knife about how
sure.
mad he was.
I feel like
so,
the cut would have been a little rougher, though.
So you're arguing that the brute force of Jack Bauer caused that head to come off in the way that it did.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, katana shamana. Like, I feel it just was JB all the way.
Sure.
So we head back over to the president, who's at CIA, which we didn't mention, but didn't really matter. And the president's like, great, I talked to the Chinese. The Chinese aren't going to attack us anymore. They're happy with the Chang evidence. Things are going great. I'm going to get on Air Force One. And then Mayhem, who got a call earlier, has to be like, hey, I got something to tell you. You might want to sit down. The president's like, well, I'm not going to sit down. Why would I sit down?
He's like the happiest point of his life at this moment. I mean, his face looks like the happiest and brightest I've ever seen it.
He just averted World War III. He's pumped. For sure.
As he should be.
And he saved the drone program. That's a busy day.
I don't know that the drone program was really saved.
I don't think the British Prime Minister is going to roll with that one.
No, yeah, the drone program was saved, and then they got hacked.
I think that was a classic 24 dropped plot line where the drone program was super important.
No,
and then they just
he had that speech, and then they voted on it.
They didn't vote; they just had the speech.
I thought they voted on it.
They he did the speech, and then all that shit happened that was bad for England because of the drones. So I don't think that's going to be continuing.
I'm pretty sure he saved the drone program before that.
Well, I think it's unclear.
Well, I mean, at this point, they might vote to reverse that decision.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely could have lost it after
that
today.
That was before Wembley Stadium got droned, so they might walk that one back.
Before the drone bone zone?
That was the drone bone zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the drone bone zone, they accepted it afterwards.
Yeah. So Mayhem tells the president, and then Boudreaux rolls in just at that moment, and I don't know where Boudreaux came from, but...
Yeah, where was Boudreaux during this whole thing?
We don't know. There was a very little Boudreaux in this episode.
Yeah, it was super, super light on Boudreaux. I mean, there was the epic freeze frame, and then it was just kind of, you know.
There was Jack shouting at him.
And then it was the very end of the episode, and Boudreaux was just in CIA custody, essentially. That's
so
kind of it.
Boudreaux shows up just as the Mayhem tells the president that Audrey's dead, and the president doesn't believe her for a bit. He's like, she was with the Secret Service. And Mayhem's like, yeah, they're all dead, too. And the president just collapses on the floor.
It was kind of weird that like he didn't also. So I'm gonna refer to Mayhem as Joey the Rat,
okay.
Given his appearance. So when Joey the Rat calls, he kind of asks the president, like, I was surprised he didn't at least get Boudreaux in the room because they're still married, and I feel like he should probably notify him as well that his wife's dead.
Was he not in the room?
He was kind of like wandering, like not really in that discussion.
He was not. He was not told about this at all? He just had to be from a third party, or was he told at all?
We never saw him get told. He just saw the prison collapse and kind of
overheard.
Went, Audrey?
Right.
And
then I mean, like his life is over anyway. Like, he's in jail for being a, like, traitor.
The worst mole ever.
He's done.
Well,
Dunzo.
And honestly, I mean, he had already said that, you know, Audrey loved Jack. So he kind of already given that up, I feel.
Yeah, that ship had sailed.
Yeah.
Yep, he's ship sailed. Given up on that marriage.
And then, so we head back over to the boat where there's just, like, an army of paramedics just, like, wheeling stretchers around, just, like, cleaning up all the
body bags everywhere.
Body bags everywhere.
They're hauling out the result of Jack's massacre.
There was a Code Bauer.
Code Bauer.
But then Jack's like, oh, wait, I totally forgot Chloe was around here somewhere. Let me go find her. And she's missing from that little room he left her in.
And there's like a single drop of blood left behind. And Serbian guy notices that. Mm. And there's a problem.
Serbian guy plays Sleuth.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He's clearly a character on the clue board.
Serbian guy?
Serbian guy.
What's his name? It's not Belichick, because that's the...
No, that is the, that is
the
Serbian
coach
guy.
Of the New England
that's
Patriots.
The coach of the New England Patriots.
It's Belichick. It's Belichick.
Belichick, so not Belichick, just Belichick. Okay.
Okay, so the I in Belichick, take it out.
Just Belichick.
Yes.
Got it.
Thank
One
you,
word.
Mike Stana. So then Jack gets a call, and he just makes his super serious Jack Bauer face, and he's like, who is this? Set it up, and then walks away. And so then I think, Harrison, you got to talk about what happens next.
So at which point I'm out of my seat yelling, it has to be Tony. Because we've talked about this for weeks. Like, it has to be Tony that he's meeting up with. It would be the best end ever to the season if Tony Almeida was there and it's just like, hello, Jack. And that's just the end of the season right there. That would have been
good.
Epic. So good.
But what did actually happen right after that scene?
Whoa. We had a question from the audience, from Anshul, saying, who's Tony?
Oh, man.
That's
Rob,
a whole podcast.
I mean, that really is. I mean, Rob, if you want to take that one in your 30-second explanation.
I'll just say he's the only man Jack can trust. Leave it at that.
Or
sure.
Was.
Or was.
Well, at some point. He's in jail now, though.
He is
so
in
maybe
jail.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
And
at
he was,
one point he was.
And he was evil at some point, so.
He was good, then evil, then kind of good, then pretty evil.
Then in jail.
Then in
yeah.
jail. And dead at one point. But not anymore.
Damn. I was really holding out hope for that one.
But what did happen that you were also really excited about?
The time jump. It happened. We've been talking about it all season. It finally happened. In the last 15 minutes of this episode.
It was a pretty lame time jump.
It was. I was hoping for something more significant, like a more significant reason for them to jump ahead 12 hours, but
they saved it for the last
but,
10 minutes.
You know, they did it. It said 12 hours later on the screen. And we actually knew that it was going to happen because at the very beginning of the episode, you know, it said, you know, like the following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 a.m. So we kind of knew it was coming. But
that's right. We did know it right from the start.
Yeah. But
and so last week on the podcast, Harrison and I made a bet. And I said, no time jump. And he said, time jump. And right before the show, we were talking about what the bet was going to be. And Harrison had the opportunity to make it really bad. But you backed out, and it's only a $5 bet.
I'm not sure
so
that
I'm giving Harrison
I'm not
$5.
Sure. Thank you. I'm not sure that I really backed out. My proposal was that whoever lost the bet would have to chug an adios motherfucker on the air. And
I guess I backed out of that
one. And Rob backed out of those stakes.
I wanted somebody to do a shot of absinthe. That's what I really wanted.
Oh, yeah, the absinthe.
Because we should have had that from before, but somebody got rid of it.
Yeah, the absinthe isn't making an appearance again.
I think that was a wise choice.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been great. I would have loved it.
Oh, man. It is super hot in this room. And is anyone else super
hot? We're going to have to crack a window soon, but we will try to wrap up the episode. So, yep. So like the time jump is just so we can sort of say goodbye and see where everyone's going. So Kate's just hanging out at CIA looking sad, and Eric comes over to give her a pep talk. And really, like, no one's really given Eric the due respect since he took over CIA London. Like, everyone just ignores everything he says. And so after the pep talk about how Kate should stick with it and not blame herself, we see her dramatically leave her badge and gun on the table and walk out.
And walk out with her ID still on.
Well, she had to get the ID just to get out of the building. You had to hand it off to HR. But
that's fair.
The rest you just leave on your desk.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
So is she the next Jack Bauer? Is that the next season where she like tries to find Jack and
she's
like,
gonna infiltrate Russia, Moscow, and try to
what about
save
this?
Jack,
first thing she does goes back to the U.S. breaks Tony Almeida out of jail.
Oh man.
Kate and Tony go to Russia,
and they
bring Chloe.
Oh my God! So
you gotta bring Chloe. Maybe she still has her eyeshadow. Maybe she still
super
emo. That eyeshadow
held up through the whole fall through the woods and everything.
Until the very last section that she's in. I gotta say, she's gotta take a shower or something because it was the cleanest, freshest, like young, rejuvenated Chloe I have seen the entire season.
She was captured. I mean,
But see, maybe they were like, don't save her if she's so disheveled. Only save her if she looks great. And
maybe.
So they fixed her up.
Maybe she actually got some sleep. You know, she was being
maybe.
Tortured like 12 hours
I don't know why
ago.
They would let that. But she even looks showered. Her face looks so nice.
Beauty tip. If you want to look rejuvenated, get kidnapped by Russians.
And take a shower.
So my working theory for most of the episode was that she actually got some of that permanent makeup tattoo to like have that just be looking real fresh all season, but
that's,
I don't know.
It's a solid theory.
Maybe we'll find out next season. I feel like next season, if we get a next season, that there's gonna be no makeup, that she's gonna look back to normal.
Yeah. So is she gonna get that neck tattoo lasered off
too? Neck tattoo is still lasered.
Okay.
So also at CIA Luncheon, we say goodbye to good old Mark Boudreau, who's in the interrogation room, but for some whatever reason, unlike Jack Bauer and Steve Navarro, they don't make him shirtless, and they don't really explain why.
I mean, they didn't really need to interrogate him for anything.
I guess that's true.
And he looks super sad.
Yeah.
He looks so sad.
So like 24 hours ago, he was the president's chief of staff, and now he's not the president's chief of staff. The president he serves is going to resign. He's being arrested for treason, and his wife, A, didn't love him anymore and then died.
It's been a tough 24 hours for Boudreau.
If Jack Boudreau had a dog, it would have got run over by a truck.
Whoa. Maybe so negative over there.
Oh, no. it's a real bad day
for
Boudreau.
I mean, in his mind, he can probably ignore the fact that she didn't love him at her demise, but
he has.
It's a pretty sad day.
I think it's
so
like
much
there's
worse.
No chance for him to make it up to her now.
Like it definitely makes it worse, but you know he's having a bad time for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I think
maybe he'll be put in his cell with Tony.
Oh my God!
And then they hatch plans for the next season.
The entire plot of the next season is the show Prison Break with Mark Boudreau and Tony Almeida. I would watch the shit out of that show.
No, it's.
It's actually Oz.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Maybe Jack's break out of Russian prison at the same time Tony and Boudreau are break out of American prison.
Totally.
Maybe it's Orange is the New Black. We just get to know all the other people in the prison.
Maybe.
Like, why they're in there and, like, you know, who sleeps with who. Be fun. Have a nice romp. A little comedy. Be a fun time.
Could be. It could be.
We'll take this a little different.
You have booty in there, so comedy could very well happen.
Yeah, I mean, Mark definitely has a face for comedy.
He also got Steve Navarro in there. I mean, he's pretty jacked. I mean,
that's right. He's a character actor. Navarro's in the mix.
We definitely need to bring Steve Navarro back for next season.
Oh, my God.
How come they didn't put Steve and Mark in the same car to take them to custody?
Oh, man.
You got arrested for treason? Yeah, me too.
They could make a scrapbook together.
Who are you bowling for?
Chinese.
I'm the Russians.
Oh, God. Mine
were cooler, you know. They're more powerful.
Anyway,
so over at the London airport, President Heller's getting ready to go on Air Force One with Audrey's body in the coffin. And the president gives a little speech about how, just to really hammer home that, like, the sort of dark episode about how he's going to forget all this ever happened. And, you know, he was having trouble remembering who Audrey was, and now he's just going to forget who she was and everything.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier in the episode, I mean, I feel like this is the Alzheimer's PSA. It's just like, hey, Alzheimer's sucks. Contribute money, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was super sad, and like Stephen Fry didn't look like he knew what was happening at all.
No.
He was just, it was, Like, I don't know. It was kind of blank on his face.
I feel like Stephen Fry signed up for 24 and was like, I'm going to be in 24. This is awesome. And then, like, by the end of the scene, he's like, you didn't have me do anything.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
He's like, yeah, I was in, like, a handful of scenes. But,
how
like,
come I couldn't, like, be a mole and, like, do nefarious things or something?
I mean, like, I feel like Stephen Fry was killing it all season, so I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't use him more, I feel like.
So, Rob, is Stephen Fry on Mole Watch?
No.
I guess we'll get to Mole Hunt in a second.
Oh, man.
I don't know. If we really have
do we need Mole Hunt this week?
Well, we'll see.
Okay, okay.
Max Donna just went there, so, you know.
That's your next prediction, Max Donna?
I didn't go that far.
So now we're kind of at the point where we're wrapping up the season. So essentially, that kind of mysterious caller had sort of set up a meet to theoretically have, you know, Jack try to get Chloe back, and it's kind of, you know, Jack and that Serbian gentleman kind of roll up on this helicopter.
Still can't remember his name.
It's not Belichick. It's just
Belichick.
Belichick. Jesus.
How many times do you think
it'd be a dead giveaway when he wasn't wearing like a cutoff sweatshirt that he's not Bill Belichick, but apparently not. So they kind of come up in this helicopter, and there's some kind of Russian guy standing there. And was he supposed to be a character that we recognize? Because it seemed like
they
Jack
played it like it was, but I did not recognize it.
Yeah, like it seemed like Jack kind of acknowledged him, like he was a person that they should know, but not at all, really.
I don't remember who it is, yeah. So that doesn't mean it's not someone we recognize.
But you are our resident historian, so if anybody would know it, it'd be you.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps it was one of those, I acknowledge you as someone I will slaughter later. Okay, see you later.
Well, that's
bye.
Where the Taken speech comes in.
Man, I really wish right now that I had transcribed that speech, but, like, essentially, you know, Jack is kind of setting up this trade for, like, kind of him and Chloe. Chloe's in the custody of these Russians, so they kind of, you know, they do the walk back and forth, and Jack kind of says, you know, some parting words to Chloe, and, like, we have that line where it's like, hey, it's time for you to go home, which I think... Now, I think it's pretty clearly that she's time for her to go home to the U.S., whatever. And then he goes up to the Russian guy, and he's like, if you go back on your word at all on this, then, like, I am going to...
I will find you, and I will kill you.
He said, I am going to make your entire world unravel, is I think what he said.
Did he also say, and you won't see it coming?
Yeah, and you won't see it coming. Great.
It would be interesting to see him do that from a Russian prison.
I mean, if anyone can do it, Jack can. So
I mean, that's the next season.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, the Serbian break. Guy is still walking around.
It's Taken Prison Break next season.
Yeah.
And then, so Serbian guy and Chloe drive away. Jack gets in the helicopter with the Russians. Tony's not in the helicopter.
Fucking angry.
No Tony.
And then Jack flies off into the silent clock, and that's where the season ends.
There were two silent clocks this episode, and I feel like silent clocks are usually reserved for somebody dying, and this time it was just for Jack kind of flying off into the sunset.
It's not. People say it's always someone dying, but that's not.
It's not actually true?
No.
Historian over there, can you, another example?
I will give you an example. David Palmer got a silent clock when he did not die. And did not get a sign clock when he did die.
So was that like at the end of the season when he kind of gets like poisoned by the dude when he's shaking hands?
Yeah.
That, okay.
I thought that was the beginning of a season.
That was the last episode of a season.
It's the last episode of a season, but I think they show it again at the start of the next season.
Right.
It's like a flashback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
there were two in the same episode, which I think might be the first time they did that.
I think that's a record. So that's the end of the season. That's the end of 24, Live Another Day. Right.
Maybe
there.
The end of 24 ever. We don't know.
Might be the last frame of 24 is Jack gazing out of that helicopter window wistfully.
Wow, boys. What am I going to do with my Tuesdays when I can't listen to the podcast?
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. You're already one behind because now you're on the podcast. You don't listen to it tomorrow.
I'm going to listen to this again. Come on, guys.
Do you think you are sadder than Mark Boudreau? Or was Mark Boudreau sadder at the end of the season?
Mark Boudreau's face is how I feel on the inside.
Mark Boudreau had the ultimate sadness in this episode.
Did. I mean, I didn't. I mean, you know, I did. I was not committed of treason. My wife did not love me and die. So I don't think anyone can really compare to Mark Boudreau right now.
I mean, but a TV show that you like a lot did end for a season.
I am crushed. So. Yes. Yeah. Clearly crushed.
Or series finale. Maybe. You don't know.
Could be the series. Yeah.
Who was sadder, Mark Boudreau at the end of the season or Jack right before Rampage Mode?
right before Rampage.
Ooh, man. It's got to be Jack right before Rampage.
The lip trembling. I mean, that just gives it all away to me. If a man's lip trembles, there's business going down.
Who is the better actor, Mark Boudreau or Jack Bauer?
I think they were like the two best of the
overall
season.
No, just for those moments.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Jack, I think. I mean,
he's definitely more screen time for that. You know,
sure.
It's difficult. Well, adios, motherfucker. Dead 24.
There you go. So, I guess we can talk about whether or not we need Mole Hunt.
Max Donna, what's your mole theory?
wait, we got to do this. We got to do the bumper.
Do the bumper.
All right, give me a sec. Hold on. Mole, 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 mole Hunt.
See, that's why we had to do it.
You're really, really, really honing it in for the end of the season.
All right, Max Donna.
Max Donna looks like...
The AMFs
anyway,
have gotten to Max Donna.
Yeah, I'm gonna be interested to hear what comes out of his mouth right now.
Don't get too excited.
Oh man, it's so hot in here too.
It is. Well, so we're in Seattle right now, and it's about 90 degrees, and we need to close the windows to record this podcast so we don't get a bunch of street noise. But I do not have air conditioning in my apartment, nor does pretty much anyone in Seattle.
So let's do the other bumper and just wrap things up.
Yeah.
Kill of the week.
Oh, it was understated.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
So I brought it out.
So like we talked about how this season was lighter on kills than most seasons. This week though, they really brought the A game with a in a way, there's so many options, but another way, there's only one option.
I mean,
they really brought a lot of kills this week.
I mean, there's obviously only one, but they made up for the lack of kills in a bunch of other episodes in the finale, I think.
Yeah, so I guess we'll give some honorable mentions to Kate and the other agent just shooting the sniper out with pistols.
Yep.
And the sniper doesn't kill anybody. And he dramatically falls out the window. That's pretty good.
I'll do an honorable mention for Meat Cleaver to the Face guy.
Meat Cleaver to the Face was real
it's
solid.
Pretty
I
good.
Really
real
like
solid.
The Switchblade. I think that was
Switchblade.
That
was really good.
Really top.
Very
there.
Nice. Very is a very, very tactical move.
Yeah.
I think.
Does Audrey get an honorable mention?
Ooh. I mean, I feel like I have mixed feelings about that being Kill the Week because I feel like Kill the Week is something to be celebrated.
I think it'd be very like not patriotic to award Kill the Week to a Chinese or Russian, whoever that was, killing the president's daughter.
It was not even that good of a kill. It was just
no.
Kind of like, oh, you just kind of caught her in the gut in a bad spot.
It was an
know.
Accident.
It was super sad, but you know, in terms of technical prowess in killing, maybe not so much.
But Chris, what was our kill of the week?
Katana?
Obviously, Katana. Chang, the...
Hashtag Avi.
The multi-season villain, just getting his head clean,
Chang
chopped off with that
coming
Katana.
For a long time.
So do you think he's going to come back from the dead next season?
I don't know. I feel like he's a little more dead than Tony was.
It was pretty clear, I think. Pretty clear cut. I think I have to leave after that comment.
do we have anything else to talk about, or are we going to wrap it up?
My kill of the week was my dreams of Pound Town.
Oh, I know. So there was a moment in my head where, like, she got shot and she was bleeding. I'm like, maybe she's not dead. Maybe they can stop that bleeding, and then they could do time skip, and they could still bang. But, like, it didn't happen at all, and she died. So upsetting. Oh, no.
Was that really why Jack almost shot himself in the head?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
She wasn't even the last, like, girl in the last seasons. Like, I just feel so weird to me that she was, like, 5, 6 season, and there was a whole nother girl for 7, 8, 7 and 8.
Jack has terrible luck with women.
That
like,
is
it
true.
Is. He has insanely bad luck with women. Like, if
ladies, you might not want to date Jack Bauer.
Yeah, if you want to survive, I would recommend not dating Jack Bauer.
Oh, but he's so dreamy.
Season 10, Kelsey.
I'm going to go on a date.
Yeah, you can audition for season 10, maybe.
I certainly could.
Grow some insane facial hair.
I could do that. I'm sure I would get on with the facial hair before any other aspect.
Well, so I feel like we all need to figure out when the open casting call is for season 10 and go audition for it. I really want it. Or maybe we can write an episode for season 10.
I think our writing skills might be a little more.
We should do Lethal Weapon. We should do Lethal Weapon 5 and write our own season of 24.
Okay. Let's write a spec script for season 10 and send it to the creator and see how it goes.
So you're going to like script out all 12 episodes or script out 24 episodes?
I will script out the first episode of the season and the last episode of the season.
Can we have Tony Almeida die twice?
Oh, man.
In one season?
He's going to die in every episode.
Tony Almeida dies at the end of your spec script for the first episode. Then he's just in the last episode. So you don't explain why.
So if you want to know what happens, then you gotta hire us to write the rest of the script, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Kenny of 24.
So we have some ideas for some future episodes. Maybe like a season recap next week, maybe? We're just figuring it out.
Yeah, I think we need to give out some awards next week, but we'll take the week to figure that out.
Stay tuned for potential future episodes.
Yes.
I feel like now that the show is not going to happen, there's a chance we might start slipping and recording every week, but we're going to try not to. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's going to be enough 24 content to talk about every single week.
Just pick another show.
We have a few ideas for a few more, at least.
We had the video game. There's also the board game.
Oh, the DVD board game is atrocious. It is horrible.
And so podcast worthy.
Oh, my God.
We can podcast while we're playing.
We will
live read.
We will
playing the board game.
Twitch the 24 DVD board game.
Yeah, there's a couple of ideas out there. But
Twitch, please. 24, the DVD board game.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Amazing. We should totally hook that up. If anybody has suggestions on, you know, which show you'd like for us to kind of talk about in the future, please kind of leave comments, tweet us, whatever, and we'll take it under advisement.
Yeah. There's also the meme we mentioned like a month ago at this point has actually been posted.
Yeah, I published it.
So if you want to send us some of those our way, that'd be great.
The clueless Mark Boudreau meme.
Yeah.
We want to see him.
So we have any plugs we want to go around, Harrison?
I'm still on Twitter. I'm at Harrison Hoffman on Twitter. You can follow me there.
Rob?
I'm also still on Twitter, at Rob Kitts.
You haven't left it yet?
No. Chris, what's your new Twitter handle?
I don't have any. It's still the Chris Lorenz.
No.
I am the Chris Lorenz. Sorry.
You got a thing going.
I've been a little lazy.
Kelsey, anything to plug?
I just don't even have a Twitter.
Oh, no.
Max Donna, any parting words?
I am at the real Rosie O'Donnell.
Anyone in the audience?
Any plugs?
All right, guys. Adios.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.